I love that song that Wendy's just sung. There's a whole sermon in that itself. You know, who am I? I am His. You know, it says it all, doesn't it? Jesus said in John 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." And I want to talk today about this word chosen, about what it means to be chosen. The word itself means one who is the object of choice. That's easy, isn't it? Or of divine favour. Each of you here is the object of choice, of divine favour. So special, whether you feel it or not, that's what God says. You are His chosen one. And whether you know Him or not, you're still His chosen one. He's chosen you to be with Him for all eternity. Now, I grew up being told, "You're a chosen child." I was adopted as a baby. It was a time, a few years after the war, when we had the baby boom. There were a lot of babies up for adoption at that time. And I was just sort of quite dirty, apparently, not very well dressed, had a real snotty nose, so I couldn't have been very pretty at the time. And my mum had always wanted a boy, but my dad saw me and said, "We're having her. She's ours." And so they took me home, cleaned me up, made me their very own, and treated me so well, you know, as one of the family. And whenever I said to people I was adopted, which I didn't know actually for a few years after they had adopted me, people used to say, "Oh, you're a chosen child." That's rather special, isn't it? You're a chosen child. And I believe today Father God just wants to say to each and every one of you, you are a chosen child. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Amen. So Father adopts us into His family. The King of Kings chose us to be in His royal family. You know, we were like street kids, like we've seen on missions sometimes, you know, these street kids, nothing going for them at all, but it's as if the King Himself came and took us to be in the royal family, in the royal palace, giving us all the privileges of being an heir. No longer slaves, but sons. When my mum and dad died, I inherited everything that they had, as though I was a blood daughter. And we inherit everything that Father God gives us, haven't we? Just as if we were blood children of His. And we are, through the precious blood of Jesus. And I want to look at Ephesians chapter 1 first, just a few verses. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every special spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world." Takes a lot of getting your mind around that one, doesn't it? He chose us before the creation of the world. We've just celebrated communion and remembered that the death of Jesus means so much to us. And God chose us before the creation of the world. But we're told as well that God had a lamb slain before the creation of the world. So although he chose us, as he also chose this plan of redemption for us, that we could be in his family. Isn't that wonderful? That we might be holy and blameless in his sight. So where do I come from? Out of the heart of the Father before the creation of the world. Where am I going to? Back to the heart of the Father. And that's so special, isn't it? But where can I live now? Close to the heart of the Father. And I thank God that's where I can live. Close to the heart of my Heavenly Father. I'm chosen by him for eternity. You know, we love spending time with friends, with family, maybe for a few days, maybe for a few weeks, whatever. But God wants to spend every moment of eternity with you. He not only loves you, he likes you. He likes being in your company, in your presence. He wants to spend eternity with you. You know, we all want relationships when we're loved, where we're valued. We want to belong. You know, we hear of youngsters joining gangs just because they want to belong. They get into all sorts of difficulties, take on dares, life-threatening things sometimes, just because they want to belong. And some men and women are driven to succeed in business just because they think that means being loved and accepted by their success. But for us, we don't need to struggle like that. We've been chosen by God before time ever began. We belong. We matter. We've been accepted. We are valued. You know, a great price was paid for your redemption. We're valued. We're of value to God. We are loved. You know, William Wordsworth wrote a poem. You have heard of Wordsworth, probably the famous Lakeland poet who wrote Daffodils. But he also wrote this poem called Imitations of Immortality. And just a verse from the poem says this: our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life's star, hath had elsewhere its setting, and cometh from afar. Not in entire forgetfulness, and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home. Heaven lies about us in our infancy. Trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home. That's beautiful, isn't it? Yes. Another famous person, St. Augustine, said, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. We've probably all experienced that restlessness, you know, when we're trying to find things that will fill the void within us when we've been, you know, away from God. But our hearts will be restless until we find that resting place in God. You know, the song that Wendy sang, who am I? I am his. You don't know who you are until you know whose you are. You don't know who you are till you know whose you are. You know, after Duncan and I got married, my dad took our wedding album into work with him, you know, his sort of bragging book, showing off all these pictures. But the thing that really impressed him the most was many people said to him, oh, doesn't she look like you? Yes. And it's true, I did look a bit like my dad. And just living with him, you know, all those years, I grew into the family likeness. And I just wanted to share that because, you know, as we live day after day, year after year with the Lord, we grow into the family likeness. Amen. And 1 Peter chapter 2, if you can just put that up for me, says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Amen. You know, it's a great privilege to speak on Mission Sunday. It's only a few more days, as we've been told already, before Guy and Madge set off on their great adventure. Because I believe it will be a great adventure. God has some wonderful surprises in store for you two. He's going to use you in ways you've never experienced and show you things you've never imagined. I really believe that for you. As many of you know, several years ago, Duncan and I spent a few years working with Youth of the Mission as full-time missionaries with them. I say that when we're all missionaries for Jesus, you know, but we were in a full-time mission organization. And you know, the months before we joined were not easy. I'm sure you've experienced the same. It's not easy making that choice. And we agonized over things like the home that we lived in was beautiful. And then the regular income that we had when Duncan was working, we had to give that up, and lots of other things as well. Moved to a different part of the country, and our children were in schools. But I think the thing that we agonized over most of all was, you know, that we weren't teachers or doctors or nurses or the things that God usually, you know, needs for people that he calls into missions. And with that in mind, we went to a meeting that Chris Bowater was taking, expecting to hear something from God. And the whole meeting was about marriage, which had nothing to do with, well, I mean, it was very good, but it has nothing to do with what we thought we were going to hear. But then he called us forward at the end of the meeting, and the words that were prayed over us were so very special. That God has called you. He's not called you for any experience that you've had, any skills that you've had. God has called you because he's called you. He's chosen you because he's chosen you. Amen. That meant such a lot to us, and we've really held that close to our hearts for years. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. You know, if we attempt great things for God, we can expect great things from God. And I really believe that Guy and Madge and Pete and Berlin too are going to experience and expect great things from God and attempt great things for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness. And it is written, "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Boast in the Lord. He chooses the foolish. We can all be foolish at times. The weak, the lowly, the despised, the things that are not. And you can't get much lower than not, can you? So that he gets all the glory. You know, he called frustrated, ordinary fishermen with empty nets to a life of challenge, hope, and unending promise. can do that for us, can't he? So let's walk in our chosenness. With all our flaws, with all our wounds, with all our mistakes and everything else, we can stop trying so hard. You know, feeling such failures when we get things wrong and hiding away. We are chosen. When our Tim was a little boy, he used to get into all sorts of trouble, used to get filthy, one thing and another. But when he was, sitting up in his high chair, he used to love a little tin of chocolate pudding for his tea every day. And then he started feeding himself. Well, he was wearing more of this chocolate pudding than we actually went in. You can imagine, can't you? But, you know, I didn't sort of say to him, oh, you're dirty now. You know, I don't want you anymore. I just got a cloth and wiped off all the chocolate pudding. You know, loved the little face, but rejected the chocolate pudding. And that's a bit like God is with us. You know, he loves us. But he just gets a big cloth, wipes out all the sin, and loves the little face. In Song of Songs it says, my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainsides, show me your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. You know, he's holding your face in his hands. He's looking straight at you and telling you again, I love you. You will always be my chosen one. Says again in Song of Songs, my beloved is mine and I am his. His desire is for me. It's not me looking for him, it's him looking for me. You know, he instigates it. There was a poem I read years ago called The Hound of Heaven. I don't know if anybody here has read it, but it talks about God as this hound that's sort of chasing you all your life, you know, and you're trying to run away from him. And I don't know, I just feel somebody here is probably like that. You're trying to run away from him, but he's like this persistent hound that will chase after you and after you and after you until he catches you, even to the point of going down into hell itself to bring you out. It's like that hound. He, you know, his desire is for you. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. Says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his chosen one. Who am I? I'm chosen in him before the foundation of the world. I'm bought by the precious lifeblood of Jesus. He's brought me into his family and his banner. And so are you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Oh, Father, we just want to thank you for that privilege of being your chosen children. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, doesn't know that they are your chosen child, Father, I just pray you speak into their hearts that they won't leave this place before having that wonderful relationship with you. So, Father, again, we thank you that we are yours, that you are ours. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to say, who am I? We know that we are your chosen children. So we thank you, Lord, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.